Welcome to Sorted, a podcast for creatives by creatives. I'm Emma.
And I'm Alex. So get your coffee ready and let's get sorted.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the last episode of season three of Sorted. We are really proud of the season and we can't believe it's already come to an end. But it's that time of year where, you know, we need to start thinking about 2024, or, you know, the next year. And, you know, want to reflect on our year in business, our year personally, our year goals that we set for ourselves, and really set ourselves up for success for the coming new year. So today we wanted to dive into kind of all things goals and intentions and how to positively reflect and make note of what you want to change in your business and how to really like put that into action for the coming year. So our first thing that we wanted to talk about is taking time. We both really think it's important. I think a lot of times people sit down at the end of the year or the beginning of the year to set goals for the year, and they don't really think about how the previous year went and don't look at any metrics or emotions or not actually analyzing those goals you set for last year. I feel like New Year's resolutions, that's why we don't call them resolutions. But I feel like New Year's resolutions can kind of be jumping off a diving board into the pool and not actually like making a plan. And so how we like to kind of set this up is taking time to reflect on your goals and your year as a whole. And so what we kind of like to start with is looking at your goals for last year. You know, what did you hit? What did you not hit for those metrics that you set? And if you didn't set, you know, metrics, you can kind of do this ambiguously. Like, what were you proud of? What were you not proud of this past year? And like, how are you feeling at the end of 2023? You know, right now, it's also kind of hard. That's why I like doing this around this time of the year, or a little bit of like mid-December, because, you know, before the holidays hit, because sometimes holiday feelings can cloud, you know, the overall end of the year feelings. But how are you feeling at the end of the year? And, you know, is this the same way you want to feel at the end of next year, or do you want to feel differently?
Yeah, I can't believe that it's already the last season of, I know I'm a little late to the, it's the last episode of season three. That's so crazy. I feel like we definitely had a lot of intention with this season, and we hit on some topics that if you would have asked me in season one to talk about it, I definitely wouldn't have had the confidence, and I wouldn't have been able to just be honest with myself in vocalizing, you know, my feelings about certain things. So yeah, I'm super proud of us for this season. And I think that, hopefully our audience has taken a lot of valuable information out of it, and keep hitting us in the DMs with new topics to talk about. We love getting those from you guys, so keep them coming. But I feel like, to bounce off of what Emma was saying, is when you're reflecting on how the year went, reflect on like the best five events that you had this year. Was it a physical in-person event? Was it a personal, not even to do with work, just a personal goal that you hit, a personal event that you were super proud of? Was it one certain project that you landed that you were very proud of? So thinking about those things, work-wise and personal life, are going to be crucial to this, because also, as I've mentioned before, working for yourself, personal life and work life kind of go hand in hand. You can do things in your personal life that could work in your favor for your work life, or the opposite. You can do things in your personal life, like maybe your personal life is unorganized, which then is leading into your work life being unorganized. So they go hand in hand. But really thinking of your overall highs and lows for the year, I think, is beneficial to evaluating your goals that you had set for the year, and also to think about your goals for the next year too. So one other thing that I really like to do at the end of the year is evaluate my expenses. So as I'm getting more and more into self-employment, into owning my own creative studio, I'm exploring new software, you know, I'm venturing out into different programs. And so sometimes my expenses go up and down. Obviously, at the first year of owning my business, you know, I needed a desk, I needed a monitor, I needed all of those things. So my expenses might have been more than versus what they are now. Or maybe you're the opposite. Maybe you're like, I've been in business for 5 years, I deserve to treat myself to a nice office chair now and not the $99 one I got at TJ Maxx, you know, when I first started, that kind of thing. So really evaluating those expenses and seeing, are they less? Are they more? Did you buy everything out of pure necessity? Did you kind of overspend on your expenses? Because then that's going to trickle into next year. So then maybe next year, if you spent way too much money on expenses this year, you're like, okay, how can I cut back and profit more? You also, if you're an S corp like myself, this will help you determine how much to pay yourself next year. Do you have a lot more overhead? I know, for instance, this year my expenses are more because I'm subcontracting out a web designer, and so, or a web developer, excuse me. I do the design. So my expenses are more in that area. So yeah, just evaluating where you're at with your expenses. Have you worked your ass off this year that you deserve that new iPad that you've been eyeing for the last 2 years? So I think it's a great time to determine where you're at with that, where you sit, so you can make your goals for next year's expenses and next year's profiting.
Yeah. And also just looking at your overall numbers for the year of like, I love looking at like how many branding suites I do, how many logos mm-hmm. did I design, how many websites, you know, the not only just like the income numbers, but like the fun mm-hmm. numbers of, you know, how many client lives did you get to touch?
Yeah. And I think you had talked in a previous episode, Emma, you were like, I've talked to 100 clients, and you were kind of like, wait, I don't even know that number. And so that like got me thinking, I'm like, that would be so cool to see. You know, maybe you have a retainer client and you're like, how many projects have I actually done for this person? Because a lot of times we're just going with the flow. We're just going, we answer our emails, we get the client project, and we just move and groove. We don't have time to sit back and be like, let me add this tally mark to this client or this tally mark to my branding suites. So I think now is just a really great time to look back and really see all of the stuff that you have done, whether that's a lot or whether or not that's five big projects that you've done this year that you are so proud of. You charged your worth. It wasn't, you know, pulling your hair out during that process, but you can really evaluate your numbers in that sense, I think would be really crucial.
I think for next year, I'm definitely going to set up like a tally somewhere. Where
I think it'd be so cool. I need to do
I remember to do every week or something. Yeah.
I have everything in folders, obviously, on my, my computer.
And that's what I do. I just go and manually count. But
yeah, but going
to have a little bit more organized.
Put that as part of your Monday morning or your Friday closeout to-do list.
Yeah. Add it to the tally.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then something else you can kind of look back on, and like I think that's worth, you know, when you're setting business goals, is looking at your systems and processes. You know, what worked this year? What did clients give you good feedback on? You know, what was like a bottleneck in your process? What, you know, what could be improved? What can you fix? What can you work on? And that's, you know, this is something that like can add a lot to your plate at the end of the year, but this is also something that you can, you know, you're like, okay, in January, I'm going to improve my onboarding process. In March, I'm going to improve my offboarding process. In February, I'm going to focus on, you know, my web design process. So like, you don't have to do it all at once. I think that that's something really important with these goals and like reflections is, I know personally, sometimes when I do this type of stuff, it really like kind of like weighs on me at the end of the year. I'm like, oh my God, I want to like redo everything for next year. But I think that taking what you want to edit or what you want to fix or what you want to improve on, and, you know, setting some realistic deadlines for those type of things is really helpful. I think that also like, this is like expenses and your processes, looking at all your subscriptions, you know, like what services are you paying for your business, for yourself? You know, this is more business focused than personal subscriptions, but more like looking at what softwares you're paying for, what platforms are you using them all? Can some things be combined? Do you need them all type of thing? You know, that's something that's really helpful for, you know, just kind of reflecting on the end of the year and seeing, you know, what's serving you and what's not.
Or even if you signed up for a free trial at some point and you just forgot to cancel it. I know that that happens in personal things that I'm signing up for, but also things for work too. You know, I might try out this new Instagram plan your grid software for the free trial and then forget to cancel it and those types of things. So yeah, it's definitely a good, hopefully you're keeping up with that and you're looking at your kind of bookkeeping throughout the whole year, but sometimes things can slip through the cracks. And so yeah, now would be a great time to look at that. Another thing to look at is your contracts. So contracts are super big and super important. If you don't use contracts, that is your first to-do for 2024. We are challenging you to have a contract in place, no matter what the project is, even if it's for a friend's mom's business. Always, always, always have a contract. You never know what's going to happen. And for me, my contracts, I have one for flat rate projects for branding. I have one for flat rate web projects, and then I have one for hourly rate. So the wording is kind of a little bit different. They all have the same structure, but this way I have a template already prepared, already named. All I have to change out is the name, the price, maybe some dates, and then like the project description and all the deliverables that they're getting. And so it's maybe 5 minutes of work I have to do for each one, but you feel so much better and so much more professional when you send it to somebody saying, hey, please sign my contract and then we can proceed. It's like, oh, they are, you know, this is the real deal. They have a contract. Like, let's get that signed. So in looking over your contracts, is there anything that you need to revise? Maybe there were some lessons that you had learned throughout this year of maybe some pain in the butt clients that you need to tweak your contracts for next year. And that's how contracts work, right? They're always changing based on the experiences that you have with some clients. Maybe something happened that you never in your career thought was going to happen with a client, but it did. And so now is the perfect time to reflect on those and add those into your contracts.
It's also a really good time of year to raise your prices. It's really easy to send out to clients. You know, it's a good metric time where you can just say, hey, like, you know, just so you know, in this coming new year, my prices are raising. My hourly, you know, I give a new hourly rate, you know, a new package rate. Or sometimes I know that sometimes people, when people are trying to drum up some business at the end of the year, they'll post it, you know, a graph that says like, book me now, or, you know, because my rates mm-hmm. are raising next year. But now is a really good time to raise prices for any kind of retainer work that you do, or any type of clients that you work with on a regular basis, like on if you do like a per project rate or a hourly rate, whatever it might be. You know, it's a really good excuse of like, you know, in a good way, a positive excuse mm-hmm. That it's a new year that I'm raising my prices. So mm-hmm. definitely, like, you know, when you're looking at your numbers for the year and you maybe it wasn't where you want it to be, is it a problem with your pricing? Is it a problem with not booking enough work? That's definitely something mm-hmm. that you can, you know, implement in the new year.
Mm-hmm. And it's very standard to raise them for the first of the year. So when you're emailing your clients, you might be fearful if this is one of your first times raising them. You know, it's kind of like that. What if they don't continue to go with me? Well, first of all, if they see your worth, they're going to continue to go with you. But also, this is very standard and they're probably expecting you to do it. And also, think of it as you have a whole nother year of expertise, of learning, of knowledge under your belt. You've improved throughout this entire year. And so what better time to do it than to do it at the first of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so like taking all of this into account and like looking, you know, everything we've kind of just mentioned for reviewing your year, making sure you do kind of like an overall takeaways of, and this is how I personally like to do it, whether it's business, personal, money, processes, you know, whatever it is, it's what do I want to leave in this year? What do I want to leave behind? What didn't serve me? What can I do better? What do I want to keep? What did well? You know, what systems that I implement, what things that I start doing that, you know, serve me, my clients, my time, you know, everything like that. And then what's something that I want to add? What am I missing from my, you know, my onboarding process? What am I missing from, you know, my business life or my work life, or my, you know, personal life? What do I want to add in the coming year? I think that setting up these overall takeaways can really help you actually, you know, taking these takeaways and turning them into your actual goals for the year. But it's just a good kind of overall reflection to make sure that you, you know, you're actually not just like journaling about what you want to change. It's actually giving you the physical takeaways and what you know, the wrapping it all up with a tiny bow. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that it's also, you know, time of year when it's important to, you know, figure out how you, for yourself, how you can finish out the year strong. And with that, you know, as I said, like, when I do something like this, I come out with it. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to change X, Y, Z, and I want to do it all now. And that's just not realistic, especially with the holiday. Like, mm-hmm. I want to take this time to enjoy some time off and be with my family and my friends and things like that. So I think figuring out a timeline, and I tried to set this in place back in November of when, you know, the date that I was going to stop doing client work. So you can let your clients know, you know, all work will be done by this date. and a date that you're going to, you know, what days are you out of office for the end of the year? Are you out of office the week, but you know, between Christmas and New Year's, or there's the week of Christmas. And then setting some days that you can work on your business, you know, that you're not doing any client work. This is a time of year where you can really utilize that. I like to use that time between Christmas and New Year's. Like, there's a couple of days in there. I take the days after Christmas off, but then I take the rest of the days off from client work, but I work on my business, and I might get a few of those things I want to implement done, mm-hmm. or just do some general planning for the year. You know, some website edits that I've been, you know, putting off and things like that. But figuring out a schedule and a calendar that works for you and your business for the end of the year, I think is a really good way to make sure that, you know, it's not waiting on, like, there's not mm-hmm. a weight on your shoulders during this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Something that I do too is I have in Notion, of course. We always have to mention Notion in at least one at least one topic per episode, I feel like. But I have a kind of to-do grid list where throughout the whole year, if I think of something that I want to do for my business, whether or not that's update logos on website, update this case study, change out the copy on this section of my website, whatever that might be, I have this ongoing list. Because then, like Emma, I take that week off between Christmas and New Year's, and I spend that time to do things for my own business. And so really to utilize that time and to make the most of it, I just refer back to that list that I've been working on the whole entire year with random thoughts that come in, where maybe the time that I thought of it, I was super slammed with work and I needed to write it down or I would forget. So then now, instead of just sitting there trying to tackle it all and getting overwhelmed, I have this list of priority items that I want to do for my business. And then I can just refer to that. And yeah. And then you actually have the time to sit down and do it. You knock out those things off of your to-do list. A lot of people, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people do take that week off between Christmas and New Year. And so you're not really going to get bombarded with a lot of client emails during that time. You can really take the time, not even open up your email. I know I set a vacation response, you know, like I won't be returning until January, whatever it might be. So you can do the things for your business. And then you can also, like Emma said, take some time off, you know, only work a couple hours a day if you can. Take some time off, enjoy that time, because a lot of times once January 1st hits or January 2nd hits, when you're back in the office, everybody's re-motivated. And so why not take that time? You already have everything that you need to do for your business. You already have your goals set. You already have your new processes in mind that you want to implement. So now you can hit the ground running as soon as you're back into the office in January.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, what Alex is saying, to-do list like that, I also have it in Notion. I also do all my end of year planning in Notion. But something that is really helpful is having a to-do list system where you have, you know, your priority to-dos, your soon to-dos, so things that don't need to be done today but need to be done like in the next like week or so. And then I have an eventually list. And my eventually list is things that I do in this week. You know, it's that, what Alex said, it's nothing that like is a huge priority, but it's those little things that I want to update. It's those little things I want to change, you know, adding a case study and things like that. And so it's good to have kind of a prioritized to-do list like that, so that you can, you know, I take time throughout the year. I'll take like a Friday off to work on, you know, my business or add things to my website. So I think that having a to-do list system like that can be really helpful. And I do that with my goals too. I have like, you know, we're going to now kind of get into actually how you can set your goals for the coming year. And I think something that really helps is kind of doing the same thing, you know, thinking of your goals as to-dos and making a priority list of, you know, what things daily do you need to be doing with these goals in mind to achieve them by the end of the year? What things do you need to be doing weekly to achieve them by the end of the year? What things do you need to be doing monthly, quarterly, yearly, you know, however you want to break it down. But it's really helpful to have that kind of as like a to-do checkbox system, so that like every week I know I have to do ABC in order to, you know, long-term achieve a goal for the end of the year. Every month I know I need to earn at least X amount of money, or I need to, you know, hit X amount of projects, or I need to read X amount of books. And so it really helps you kind of break down those goals into like attainable action items, and gives you a timeline and a framework for, you know, how often you need to be doing these things. But kind of rewinding a little bit. Oh, go ahead.
Sorry. No, it kind of ties into like the generic, I want to lose weight next year. I want to eat healthier. It's like when you think of it like that, you're never going to do it. Like, let's be realistic. It's not going to happen. But if you're like, I'm going to implement one vegetable in my dinner for every week, and then you just keep adding and adding on, that's how you're eventually going to get to the end result. So it's the same thing for your business. I want to make X amount of money a year, which means I need to make this amount of money per month. Or I want to only take on 5 branding projects a year, which I wish I could only do 5. That would be, that would be great.
But big boys.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can say, okay, so every however many months I need to be starting a branding project, because then if you're not hitting that, okay, maybe it's time to prospect. Maybe it's time to post more work. Maybe it's time to update your website with more work to get more branding projects.
Yeah. And I think that if you have a goal, you know, say that you have a goal, you want to make a $15,000 a month. And I think that like, if you're going from $5,000 to $15,000, like you'll say January or December, you made $5,000 this month. I think what you can do too, is you can kind of break down these goals so that in January you want to make 9,000, in February you want to make 950, in March you make 10, you know, so on and so forth, and you're building up to that $15,000 number. So it's not like you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You're setting yourself up. You might do more than that. Hopefully you will. But, you know, you're setting yourself up for a system that lets you grow, and not just like, again, it's like that diving board analogy of like, you're not just diving board into these goals. You need to like, you know, practice, you need to warm up, you need to, the sports analogy ends there here. But you know, it's important to, you know, build a system that allows you to grow into these big goals that you have. But yeah, so let's rewind a little bit and go into how, you know, now that you've done all this reflection, now that you've kind of, you have these takeaways, you are finishing out the year strong. You know, how do you actually set these goals for next year? How do you start planning? Cause sometimes when you're like, okay, I'm going to put time on my calendar to set some goals for next year. Like, where the fuck do I even begin? Like where, like, obviously I know like for my business, I have some goals, but like I always really struggled with, you know, where to set goals, like how to really break it up. And I think I saw this, I'm guessing, honestly, I probably saw it on like Instagram somewhere, and it was someone that used categories to break up their goals. And so I've kind of customized it to my own categories over time. And I've probably been using this for like 3 or 4 years now. But I have these categories in my life where I want to set goals. And so I have my community, my relationship, my family, my health, my creativity, my career, money goals, which are separate for me from career, because like my savings goals aren't really necessarily, you know, directly tied to my career. So I like to keep them separate. And then emotional well-being, which is like, you know, happiness and fulfillment and, you know, all those kind of things. And so in each of these categories, I will set an intention for the year. So that's like kind of like an idea, a little bit more woo-woo, a little bit more, you know, a little bit more overview. And then I'll take that and make action items, which I know SMART goals is always like a thing people like to throw around. And so the action items are kind of the things that are like, okay, how are you actually going to take these, you know, intentions that you're setting, these ideas, and actually like implement them in your, you know, your daily and weekly life. And that's like where I'll actually take them and put them into like how often in the year I need to do these things. So for example, you know, in my community, I want to volunteer more. And so for me, what that looks like is an action item for that is volunteering once a month. So, you know, that's something every month I know I need to check that off. Every month I need to, I know at the beginning of the month, I put in my calendar what day I'm going to volunteer. You know, so actually taking these goals I'm setting and putting them into motion. Alex, what about you? Do you set your goals based on categories, or do you have like personal life, business? How do you do it?
I don't do by categories, but after hearing you talk about it, I'm very interested in that. And I think that will help me just personally stay on track with them, because right now I kind of have personal and I have work. And
yeah, so it kind of separates it out a little bit more.
Yeah, but I would like to get more specific within that, you know, like personal, is that like my personal relationships? Is that personal like within myself? So I definitely want to categorize them more in depth for sure.
Yeah. And I think that you can pick what, you know, those are just the categories I use. And I also shameless plug, but I sell a Notion, a goal setting Notion template that has like these laid out in it. But I think that also I, you know, encourage you to customize them into like what, mm-hmm. you know, what is important to you. And that's like in your reflection, thinking back on that, like going back and looking at what words, like, for example, career, you could even separate that even more. You could say, mm-hmm. what, you know, internal processes do I want to set goals for this year? Like what, you know, type of projects do I want to work on? Those kind of things. But like, a category I've used in the past is like adventure. Like 3 years ago, I wanted to like have more adventure. So I had like an adventure category. And mm-hmm. so I had set like goals for that type of thing. Like I wanted to go on 3 trips and I wanted to like, you know, explore more in the mm-hmm. area around, you know, New York City and things like that. And so like, depending on kind of what I'm wanting to work on that year, I'll change up the categories, but these are just the ones I used for this year.
Mm-hmm. I also think that categorizing your goals and vision boards can go hand in hand. I've done vision boards in the past and they're so fun. Like I do the ones that you know, get old magazines and you cut out and you glue them to a board, just because doing it digitally, you know, I work all day on a computer. It's nice to get away from that and do something the more traditional way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kyle and I did that 1 year and it was so fun to just sit down and talk about it. But why not do your vision board the same time you're writing out your goals in these different categories, because ultimately on your vision board, you're probably categorizing everything out without even noticing it, right? Yeah. Like I know Kyle had hiking boots on his because he wanted to go more hiking. And so that's so kind of his own
adventure goal.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So I think that it would be really fun to just sit down with yourself and or your partner or your best friend or whoever you want with you and do those kind of simultaneously. And then I think it'll feel like less of a task and more like a fun conversation that you're having with somebody else or that you're just having internally.
I love the physical. This year I'm going to do both because my friend group's having like a vision board party in January. Fine. But I also like to make a vision board that's really like I like to pick my top 10 goals and pick pictures that are like really inspired by those things. Mm-hmm. And I like to make a desktop image for my board, and I have that for the year. Mm-hmm. So like this year it's really nice to look at it and I'm like, wow, like, and I remember why I picked things. Like on this year's I have like a lot of pictures of like cozy homes because I was moving at the beginning of last year and I wanted to make sure that I was like built a cozy home and mm-hmm. You know, things like that. And I have on there like a lot of pictures of like yoga practices, and that's something I did a lot this year, like slowing things down a little bit. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the vision board thing. I also like something I like doing is picking kind of like a word for the year. And I usually have it on like a post-it note stuck on my desktop so I can like see it all the time. I like to pick something that like, you know, captures my feeling at the beginning of the year and seeing how it is applied throughout the year. So last year, my word was joy. And I picked that because I just wanted to bring more, like I had the year before I had just really gone gung ho with working just like a lot. And I just wanted to bring a little bit more joy back into my life. And so at halfway through the year, I went to a Maggie Rogers concert like in June, and her tour was called Feral Joy. And so I added like feral to my,
I love
that. So at the beginning of my bullet journal, it says like the year of joy, and then it has a little carrot. It says feral joy.
I love it. That's so fun.
But yeah. So I think you can change it too, like that. But for 2024, my word for the year is purpose. So I want to like create with purpose and spend my time with purpose and just be a little bit more purposeful of my actions. Mm-hmm. And so that's my word for this year.
Ooh, I love that. Yeah. My word is confidence. I know that we talked about this in Golden Hour Guild, Emma's other fling, I guess you could call it. Yeah, my word is confidence because I feel – and we just had an episode on confidence, ironically, which inspired me so much just talking about it. I think if you just talk about how confident you are, it's just magically going to happen because I felt so inspired and empowered after that episode. But I want to just feel more confident in overall how I present myself, but also how I present my work to my clients. Like I am talented. I am good at what I do. Everybody else is talented and you're awesome at what you do. And it's kind of like own that, because then that's going to give you the confidence to get the clients you want, raise your prices. Like, that can trickle into so many different elements, not only in your work life, but also your personal life. And so I want to kind of practice what I'm preaching and just actually live that throughout the entire year and not just every other month or, you know, the ebbs and flows of what it is now. I just want to constantly remind myself of that every time maybe I'm feeling down or every time maybe I'm slow with work and just really having that. And I think I'm going to do a graphic for the word and do some fun like typography treatment and post that on my Instagram and also print it out and like frame it and have it at my desk as a reminder.
I love it. I love it. That's a fun way to like have it throughout the year and, you know, have it as a reminder. But mm-hmm. I think so something like that, like having your word in a place where you can see it, you know, that allows you to, you know, see it all the time, remind yourself. So I think that that kind of rolls into having a check-in system for all your goals. We talked about this a lot when we talk about routines, but having systems where you're doing a check-in. So if you're someone likes to check in weekly, you know, do that. If you, you know, having a monthly check-in. So I like to, you know, check in at the every month and see like the, you know, that's my main goal check-in is I do it at the end of the month. I do kind of like a small version of like the recap, the reflection we talked about, where I just make sure that like the goals that I set are still serving me. Because that's the thing is if you set goals in the beginning of the year and by June, you're like, these aren't really what I want to do. Why keep pushing yourself to do something that's not serving anymore? So making sure that, you know, overall everything is still in check. And, you know, if you didn't hit them that month, what can you do in the coming month to change things up? You know, how can you, you know, make sure that you're hitting those goals? And then I also like to do kind of like a quarterly check-in. And that's when I do like my, and what I like to do is I practice like an 80-20 rule. I practice 80-20 rules kind of throughout my like workouts, you know, what I eat, what I do, work life, you know, 80% of what I do for work, I love, 20% sometimes just has to pay the bills. And same thing with goals, like hitting 80% for me is a pass. So like I do like a habit tracker. And so like I hit 80% for the week. That's a check mark in my box. And so for quarterly, I like to just go back and reflect to make sure that I kind of hit around 80% of what I wanted to hit. And that's when I also have kind of like a reward system in place. And so at the beginning of year, this changes all the time, but I sit down and I give myself 4 quarterly rewards. So quarter 1, quarter 2, 3, and 4. Quarter 4 reward is always kind of like the highest price tag item because it's like my end of year reward for myself if I hit kind of all like my financial goals and everything like that. But I sometimes will change these up too depending on if like what I set for quarter 1 is, you know, usually quarter 1 still is the top of mind, but quarter 2 I might be like, oh, I actually – instead of that jacket, like I really want to invest in this course or something like that. And so it's a item, it's a physical item. Sometimes it's a like investing in something for my business. This year for quarter 4, I invested in like a social media strategist for Golden Arrowgill. That was like my quarter 4 reward. But having a wish list and reward system in place, I think, is a really good way to, you know, keep some motivation, especially when you work for yourself. There's no one giving you raises and there's no one giving you like quarterly or biannually or whatever corporate companies do for like a check-in or like a raise or any kind of, you know, generalized feedback from like a corporate company. So I kind of set these up as like a quarterly meeting with myself to give myself a pat on the back, you know, say, good job, well done. You know, you hit your goals and you got to buy those sneakers you've been eyeing now for a while. And so I think that that's something I kind of have implemented as I worked for myself for the past couple of years is having these quarterly check-ins.
I also think breaking down your goal list into and your check-in list to however you feel best fit. You know, maybe it's a daily check-in just to look at your to-do list. Hey, did I get everything done that I need to do today? No? Okay. Now I need to move it on to the next days and kind of rework that. Is it a weekly one? Which for weekly, that's when I do, you know, every Monday I do my bookkeeping. I look at all of that. So that's my kind of to-do list of items that I need to accomplish. And then monthly and yearly, are you doing check-ins with yourself every single month, or are you doing them once a year? So it all depends on how you best work, how you best see fits within your business, within your motto, your process, your systems. Do whatever works for you, and do it so it feels like a fun reward to look back and see all the things that you've done, not like another task for work. Because the last thing that we want you to feel like is we're giving you all of this advice or all of these opinions, and you're like, this is too much. I can't do it. I can't start. You just have to figure out what works for you, because maybe like us, we're doing check-ins with ourselves all the time, but maybe you're like, I don't have the mental capacity to do this every single month or every single quarter. Like, I need to do this once a year. And if that's what you need to do, at least to start, like, do it that way. There's no right or wrong for this. It's whatever is going to work best for you. And it's something that however you work it in, it's going to stick, and it's going to only help better you and your business.
Yeah, I think that's like kind of the advice for all of our episodes. This is a way that might work for one of us or all of us, or it might, you know, this is the way we do it. But I think that especially with goals, figuring out a system that works for you and that you're going to stick to, that's the most important, it's the most important thing to figure out is, you know, how can you implement these little things and make it work for you and your business?
We're just here to give you the tips and tricks.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we hope you enjoyed this episode. We hope that this inspires you to set some goals and reflect on 2023 and, you know, set yourself up for success in 2024. And we hope that you enjoy this season, and we will see you in season 4. Bye.
See you next year.